translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The King of Elephants, Jirendra, said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, Vasudev. Om na om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because of him, this material body acts due to the presence of the Spirit, and he is therefore the root cause of everyone. He is worshipable for such an exalted persons as Brahma and Lord Shiva, and he has entered the heart of all living being, of every living being. Let me meditate upon him. Purport. In this verse, the word Ichat Shit Akmanam is very important. The material body certainly consists of only material elements. But when one awakens to Krishna consciousness, understanding the body is no longer material but spiritual. The material body is meant for sense enjoyment, whereas the spiritual body engages in transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee who engages in the service of the Supreme Lord and who constantly thinks of him should never be considered to have a material body. Therefore, it is enjoined, Guru Nara Mamatahi, one should never stop thinking of the spiritual master as an ordinary human. One should not stop thinking the spiritual master as an ordinary human being with a material body. Atraye Vishnu Shila Dahi. Everyone knows that the deity in the temple is made of stone. But to think that the deity is merely a stone is an offense. Similarly, to think the body of the spiritual master consists of material ingredients is offensive. Atheists think that devotees foolishly worship a stone statue as God and as an ordinary man as the guru. The fact is, however, by the grace of Krishna's omnipotence, the so-called stone statue of the deity is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the body of the spiritual master is directly spiritual. A pure devotee who is engaged in unalloyed devotional service should be understood to be situated on the transcendental platform. Sargunam samityatityayatam brahma bayatyaya kalpate. Let us therefore offer obeisances unto the Supreme Person Godhead, by whose mercy the so-called material things become spiritual when they are engaged in spiritual activity. Omka, Pravana, is the symbolic sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Tat Sat It Navishvado Brahma Trividraha Smatata. These words, Om Tat Sat, immediately invoke the Supreme Person. Therefore, Krishna says he is Omka. In all the Vedic mantras, Pravana Sava Veda Shu, the Vedic mantras are pronounced beginning with Omka to indicate immediately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, begins with the words Om Na Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There is no difference between the Supreme Person of Godhead, Vasudev, and Omka. We should be careful to understand that Omka does not indicate anything nikara or formless. Indeed, this verse immediately says, Na Om Bhagavate. Bhagavan is a person. This Omka is a presentation of the Supreme Person. Omka is not meant to be impersonal, as the Mayavadi philosophers consider it to be so. This is distinctly expressed here by the word Purushaya. The supreme truth addressed as Omka is Purusha, the Supreme Person. He is not impersonal. Unless he is a person, how can he control the great stalwart controllers of this universe, Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva? are the supreme controllers of the of this universe. But Lord Vishnu is offered obeisances even by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Therefore, this verse uses the word Parashaya, which indicates the supreme personality of Godhead. Is worshipped by the exalted demigods. Parasha means Parameshvara. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are Ishvaras, great controllers. But Lord Vishnu is Parameshvara, the supreme controller. Om Gyanendasya Gana Ganaslakaya Tatsu Tumai Tasmai Sri Guri Namaha. Gora, Gora, Gora. So, the first point in this purport is Srila Prabhupada says that the point he's making is that we cannot worship the deity form of Radha Krishna or Gauri Thai without the mercy, without the spiritual master. By the mercy of the spiritual master, who is the spiritual master, without the mercy of the spiritual master, we will learn how to serve Krishna and whoever we are attracted to. Some are Ram Bhaktas, some are Krishna Bhaktas, some are Gaura Bhaktas, some are Jagannath Bhaktas. So whoever we are attracted to, the spiritual master will guide us or show us to instruct us how to serve them. Now the spiritual master should not be treated as an ordinary person. Even though he may have many so-called many defects, as it says in the Nectar of Instruction, where you see the Ganga, and you see the Ganga in Mayapur. So many times I've seen the Ganga in Mayapur. There's so many impurities there. Dead bodies, foam, stool, and so many things on the surface. But the Ganga is pure. And sometimes when one goes there, one doesn't feel like taking bath there. One sees a dead dog's body floating by. You don't fancy taking bath there. But you know it's offensive to think like that because Ganga is pure. Ganga is the manifestation from the spiritual. She came from the spiritual world, and she's also appeared as one of the as the daughter of Lord Nityananda. So the Ganga is no ordinary personality. So we should not see these places as material. And if we do, this is very offensive. So therefore, when we see the spiritual master, we should see him as a tattva darshini, a person who has seen the truth. And of course, to see the truth, first one has to surrender to him, submissively inquire from him, surrender, and serve him or her. Because the spiritual master doesn't have to come in a male body. There's many examples in Vaishnava history of spiritual master coming in the female form. You know, like Janava Mata, and there's a few others in our line. So then once we see the spiritual master is there, and we serve him nicely, inquire submissively, not inquire to, let's say, challenge him or her, but submissively inquire, then the spiritual master is happy, then he will being a Tapa Darshanik, because he has seen the truth, the absolute truth. He will bless us with the absolute truth. Now, in our line, in the scriptures, there's two considerations. There's a paravichar and tatvavichar. A paravichar means apparent truth. But tatvavichar means the absolute truth. So in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, our line is tatvavichar, the absolute truth. So he will tell us the absolute truth. So he will reveal to us that Krishna is a person. As Prabhupada says across the way, next page, that the deity form, we may see marble deity, brass deity form, a wooden deity, and so on. But it's not material. It is totally spiritual. But because due to our material blindness, we cannot see. Due to our ignorance, we cannot see. Only by the mercy of spiritual master and Krishna himself can we see them as they really are. And that they talk and they walk with their pure devotees. Now there's many examples in the scriptures of deities walking and talking. Of course, the most famous one is Sakshi Gopal. He walked all the way from Vrindavan behind the Brahmana. And so we know the Brahmana went there and said, "We made a promise before you that now this old Brahmana, that he will give his daughter to me in wedlock, but his family are protesting, saying there's no witness, so please come." And Krishna says, Sakshi Gopal says, "Well, I can't walk." Then the Brahmana says, "If you can talk, you can walk." You know? So then we know the condition that he would start walking, but he couldn't look behind. So the deity would stand still at the spot. So eventually, after he would just hear the ankle bells. And also at what's it now? Champahati in Mayapur Dham, there's the original deities of, or the actually the original manifestation of the Gaur-Gadhar deities, manifested by Lord Chaitanya when he visited Dvijavaninath. Now it has been said that Dvijavaninath, who was a disciple of Gadhar Pandit, he walked and talked every day with those deities. Every day he would walk and talk with them. Just as we're, you know, friends are talking over breakfast, the same relationship. And there's some other pastimes of deities, like one in India, they call him Udupi Krishna. Then I think it's the South India, I think. There was this one low-class gentleman in South India, and the Brahmanas and the Pujaris wouldn't allow him to take darshan from of this deity of Krishna, which he really, really loved and worshipped, because he was from an outcast family. So then, behind the deity, the back of the temple, there was a hole in the wall, and the hole's still there. So every day he would go and sing to the deity, singing with his, and the deity would be his back. He'd be singing to the back of the deity, not the front, because he couldn't go in the temple. So then one day, after some time, because of the pure love of that devotee, one day the Bhajari, after the Bhajaris did the final aarti, they locked the door and they went home. In the morning they came to wake the deity up, and the deity turned around, physically turned around. I've seen that deity, and he's very quite big, and it's impossible to move. So the deity turned around and was facing the hole at the back of the temple, hole in the wall. And because he was attracted by the bhakti, the pure bhakti of that devotee. So this shows that there has to be Krishna, he reciprocates with his pure devotee in whatever way Krishna wills. Because Krishna does not manifest to anyone and everybody. He only manifests himself fully to those who are full of love for him. Those who are bound Krishna in his, to those devotees who are bound Krishna, in his heart or her heart, then Krishna comes and resides there. And the question occurs to me that has Krishna been tied up in my heart, and the question we can ask, we'll ask the same question: has Krishna been tied up in my heart, and it actually is actually residing in our heart, and actually reciprocating with us? And of course, this takes full surrender, just like Mother Yashoda we're hearing this morning in the translation. Now, we're praying that the form of Bala Gopal be tied up in our hearts. Now, this is the prayer of a pure devotee, and this takes full surrender, as Mother Yashoda surrendered to Krishna. You know, she wouldn't give up. She said, "You're my son. I have to punish you." Now, this is out of love. This is out of reciprocation, out of the parental mood. So Krishna reciprocates according to our mood in the heart. Externally, we're worshipping Radha Gokulanda in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. But internally, we should be developing a relationship in the other four rasas: Dasya, Satya, parental, and communal. We should be developing this relationship. If we're serious, we should be doing this. And then once Krishna sees that we're surrendered, then Krishna will actually reward us by giving us that relationship, that sabandha. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, according to one surrender, I reward them accordingly. And if one reads that purport, it says, Prabhupada is very strong, he says, if one has to be fully surrendered, there has to be full surrender to have this relationship with Krishna. Now, if it's not full surrender, then our relationship with Krishna or surrender is either partial, conditional, or artificial. So we can examine ourselves. If we're not fully surrendered, then we have to examine ourselves. Are we loving Krishna conditionally, or loving him partially, or are we completely artificial? This means that we have to examine ourselves and pray to Krishna that, please, just like Jirendra here, he's in the complete grips of Maya, in the form of in the the Maya in the form of crocodile has grabbed him and dragged him into the water of material existence. So Jirendra, because he's learned this mantra from his previous life as King Indradruma, this mantra came to him. And he repeated it, he recited this mantra, and Lord Vishnu, he came riding on Garuda, and of course, Jirendra was holding a lotus in his trunk as he was writing this, remembering this mantra. So, of course, in Kali Yuga, we have the Maha Mantra, the great mantra for deliverance, given personally by Krishna in the form of Lord Caitanya for all the conditioned souls of this age. But this Maha Mantra, it may be simple to say every morning, but I was reading in one of the articles in the what's that magazine back to the Harmonist magazine. One article, he said the Maha Mantra is simple, but unless it's coming from a bona fide guru, we're just chanting the alphabet, just chanting some letters from the alphabet. We need a spiritual master to explain to us the real meaning of the Maha Mantra. Now, in his Bhajan, Sri Bhajan Rahasya, the last book Bhagno Thakur wrote, and is the follow-up to Sri Harinam Chintamani, which is Sri Bhajan Rahasya is written about 1907. Srila Bhagno Thakur is actually giving us, he says in the introduction, an open secret. He's actually revealing how to chant the Maha Mantra. Now, the Maha Mantra we've been given, as we know, is eight letters, Hare Krishna, so there's eight sets of eight lines. Now each line corresponds with Lord Caitanya's Sisasakam prayers. And each line also corresponds with the nine processes of bhakti. Now this seems contradictory, doesn't it? There's eight processes of nine. But he's given the eight processes. So Bhagavan Thakur explains that the second and the third become one. So there's eight. So then this is the secret of, and also each line corresponds to Lord Krishna's Astakalya Leela at certain times of the day. In the 24 hours of the day, Lord Krishna is performing different pastimes at different times. And so is Lord Caitanya also in Mayapur Dham. He has the same Astakalya Leela as well. So this is, I do recommend reading that book if you can get a copy, Sri Bhajan Rahasya, and it gives more detail how to chant the Maha Mantra and to realize what we're chanting. We're not just chanting any old mantra, but we're chanting the Maha Mantra because this Maha Mantra is meant to give prema bhakti. Through the result, if we chant offenselessly, we actually go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Now, in our line, Now, Prabhupada says so many times, back to Godhead. But in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, back to Godhead means back to Goloka Vrindavan, not Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is for people or devotees on the level of awe and reverence. But in Goloka Vrindavan, everything is based on spontaneous service. In other words, Raghunuga Bhakti, which Prabhupada, I think it's here somewhere. Anyway, I can't find it. Anyways, in one letter he says that Vavidi, but of course we have to follow in the beginning Vavidi Bhakti. We have to follow. But one should progress to Raghunuga Bhakti. So Prabhupada in one letter, he compares Vavidi Bhakti to a jar of honey. And we want to taste the honey, but the jar is sealed. So to taste the honey, we have to open the jar and put our finger in or a spoon in to taste what's inside. So the jar, or licking the jar from the outside, is compared to Vavidi Bhakti, and opening the jar and tasting is compared to Raghunuga Bhakti. And Mahaprabhu came to develop Raghunuga Bhakti. So then, of course, once this is developed, of course, the devotee still externally worships. He still follows the process of Vavidi Bhakti to show example to the others. But internally, he's developing this relationship with Krishna internally. And you cannot tell what's happening to people. You know, just by looking, one cannot tell. It's just like that saying, you can't judge book by its cover. Like one time, after I almost left my body due to some riding the motorcycle one time, due to a car driver speeding and attentive driving, he almost knocked over. Then I was thinking, but somehow I survived. And I was thinking, I shouldn't be here. When I woke up in the morning, I shouldn't be here. I should be being planted in a wooden box down below. And I think there has to be somebody who saved me from death. There has to be. And there has to be a reason for it. So at that time I was living in a town called Farnham in Surrey. It's just down the road here, basically, on the M3. And I went, somehow, then I went down to this second-hand bookshop. I normally don't go to these bookshops. Then I looked under the religious section. Or actually, religion and philosophy section. And I saw a little blue book about this size, about this thin, appeared just right before my eyes. Dusty, the cover was tatty, everything. The blue cover. And the book was called The Imitation of Christ. And I opened it up to see what it was. And the first thing I saw was one sentence. Vanity, vanity, everything is vanity except for love of God. And I thought, wow. Then I bought the book to see what it was, but I really couldn't understand the rest of the book. But that just one sentence stuck with me. Vanity, vanity, everything is vanity except for love of God. So then I come to the conclusion there must be a God, and he wants me to develop this love of God. But how to do it? Then, of course, later on, you meet the devotees, then we meet the spiritual master, we get initiated, and so on. So the spiritual master then, he develops this love of God to the individual disciple. In the way he may do it individually, he may do it corporately and in his class. But different spiritual masters have different ways of doing things. And so the goal of life is, of course, is Krishna Prem. But the real meaning of Prayojan, actually, as Ayendra Prabhu, he says in one letter, he says, it doesn't mean the goal, it means the prime necessity. This is the prime necessity of life, is to develop Krishna Prem and go back home to Godhead. Not ordinary Godhead, he says, but Goloka Vrindavan, where one is in Braja Prem. Now this prema that the queens of Dwarka had, and this prema that all the residents of Vrindavan, headed by the gopis, who are headed, of course, by Radharani, are different. One is in awe and reverence, and one is in spontaneous love. So Braja Prem, this is the goal, and this is what should be given. Now, we've got the marathon coming up soon. Now, Sutapa's got a goal out there, 40,000 books, and so many devotees want to go out, which is fantastic. That's the goal. So many conditioned souls are given the chance to go back home to Godhead. Because Prabhupada writes in the purport to Nittai Kadapadalam, the aim of this mission is that all the conditioned souls are given a chance to enter Krishna's pleasure dance. This is the aim of this movement. Of course, through Prabhupada's books, we can do it. But the mood should not be just to give any books out. But the mood of the devotees giving the books should be that I am being used in the service to give these conditioned soul in whatever town we're going, or whatever door-to-door we're going, giving them a chance to go back to Godhead, to get out of this material world. This should be the meditation. Not to become number one, not, or number three, or collect as much Lakshmi as I need. No, that's secondary. The main thing should be to give a chance to the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. And then they take a book, they come here, they come in the kirtan, and then from there they take the process, hopefully. They may join the ashram, they may join the, or stay live outside, but, and then eventually, meet a spiritual master, get initiated, then like this. So this is the real heart of the book distribution. The real mood should be like this. So, it's time, so I'll finish here, and any questions or...